possession is all Arsenal's. The night belongs to Arsenal. And Aubameyang's going in here, and he scored his hat-trick. Sensational stuff from Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang.
Hello, everyone. Could a week of miracles conjure up yet another Sunday with Liverpool pipping Man City to the title? On today's show, we'll look back at a week that was simply miraculous, a Premier League title that has gone down to the last day. And we're also looking at who will join Norwich and Sheffield in the Premier League next season. It's Born Offside. It's the ever-exciting Championship playoffs set to take place on Saturday. That's going to be fun. Mate, it's a podcast that we obviously haven't done beforehand. So let's work back chronologically through this fucking crazy week, but let's move Arsenal and Chelsea's win to the back of that chronological timeline.
Mate,
and move
why?
Straight to
come on, you know that's all I want to talk about.
No, we're not going to do that because it's one of those. I'm not going with you on you think it's all like really important and shit. What are you on about, mate? It is not. It is. Oh God.
No, I know it's not. That's why I enjoy talking about it.
If they've got a tin cup, then that's fine. I'll get a tin cup for that. So, but mate, hey, literally you're obviously for people who don't know, and this is pretty stupid if you don't by now because it'd be a bit crazy. But who knows? We could be having listeners for the first time. You're a Spurs fan, and I know that we did a podcast literally minutes after that match. But mate, sum up if you can the emotions that you and probably every freaking Spurs fan in the world has been through in these last few days. Come on, give it to us.
Mate, it's truly bizarre. I mean, for a start, straight after we did that podcast, I barely slept. Like all you want to consume is that last minute goal again.
over and over again.
All you want, and then you're looking for variations of it. You watch it with English commentary and Brazilian commentary, and like you do all of that, and then you're like, okay, now I go to Twitter and I watch all the memes and I watch the reactions and the posts, and then I'll read the stuff, and then I'll go listen to the podcast, and then I'll go back and read the minute by minute. And it's like you're like a junkie chasing this high. You've had this massive, great, big high that you can't possibly replicate, but you can do little bits of it, and you can, I don't know, I've never come off a drug after being addicted to it, but I just imagine this is kind of the same, because you're having,
I want it again,
these little hits. You're having because that's what they do when you're like, when you're addicted to heroin or whatever, they give you methadone to bring you off it, right? Like, and you have these little hits and they try and bring you down in stages and wean you off it. So I feel like I've been like slowly weaning myself off it. I mean, I am still very much addicted to Lucas Moura right now. And then the problem is that June 1st, there's this opportunity to, you know, go out and do some pretty hardcore smack. It could go.
Mate, I wouldn't though, and I'll tell you why, and if you're talking in the literal sense, because if you fucking lose, that'll be the worst day.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Exactly. Like, I could go, like, this is basically on the June 1st, right? There's this dude who's telling me he's got some outrageously good smack for me to start pumping in my veins. And I'm like, well, mate, well,
it is June 1st, though.
Maybe I should, because you know that, like, if Tottenham lose, it's the equivalent of that man being, you know, one of those dodgy guys who you shouldn't buy stuff off of, you know? And then you've gone all the way to Madrid and you've paid all of your money and you've injected it into your veins and now you're going to die.
Because he's there going, come on, mate, it'll embellish your experience, you know? It'll be make it even better. It's going to be fucking good anyway, right? You're going to win and it's going to be really good. It's going to make it even better. And then you lose. And then that's what people don't talk about, I think, with come downs and with all sorts of crap and everything. Mate, it has been an incredible thing. I've been with you. I've been, I don't know whether it's a sort of sadistic, masochistic thing or something or whatever. I've been more going to see if I can find more about Ajax reactions, you know, and it's something that it's a new thing, isn't it? Right, reaction videos and these things. It's only I've only sort of started doing it in the last couple of years or so since the you know, Portugal Euros. But we troll through YouTube to try and find anything at all. But I tend to go towards the negative ones. And of course, there's one very famous one, now it's pretty famous anyway, I'm sure. It's you know, got the Ajax fans in the pub counting down the seconds to the last second.
And I wanted to ask you about this one. Sorry, finish. Go on. Like, they're counting down.
And like, so that one, I mean, I was just going to say that, like, it's the pain that the opposition teams go through. I don't know why I want to watch it. Like, it's not because I hate them in any way at all, but it's almost like I want to feel their pain, you know? It's kind of, anyway, and I sent it through to you and you just sent, and I was like, that's not very nice, mate. That's not very nice.
It's
I'm upset to you because, you know.
It's not, mate.
But anyway, yeah.
I wanted to ask you about this. Now, had I been in a pub, right, and I was in the Ajax situation, and you know, we've all been there, like, you're desperately begging your team not to concede the last minute goal. We've all done it. Would you allow people to do a countdown?
Like, now, I knew you were going to ask.
I would.
No.
I would be jumping up and down, shouting at them, saying, for fuck's sake, don't do that. Don't do that. Because what you're doing is, what you're doing is you're inviting Lady Fate to fuck you in the asshole. Like, you're literally splaying your cheeks to the side and you're saying, come on, you Madge, stick it in. And Lady Fate, mate, she's the kind of woman that'll stick it right in.
Oh, she will. She's a bitch. There's no two ways about this, mother. You know, she's a bitch.
I've been burned by her before, and I just would not allow a pub to be so naive. I was looking at her going, you stupid, naive idiots.
Well,
she's going to fuck you. She's going to fuck your ass. She's fucked you.
Mate, you're English.
Yes. I am.
Yeah, so I think
that's... and experience.
Exactly. These are people, right? You're preaching to people who actually have good lives and enjoy themselves, and who when they get up in the mornings, their lives are good, you know, and they, you know, stuff is good for them, and shit happens, which is very good.
What you're saying is they don't understand football. That's
they don't understand. Well, I did have that in my lines, and I thought that's a bit cocky of me to sort of say, but it does show you that a majority of people who go to a pub, right, most of the times you're not going to have your hardcore fans, or you may have them, but they're overrun by people who are kind of, they're enjoying it, and they're, oh, let's go, because I heard Ajax are in the final. That's right, Ajax in the final of the champion.
Then there's the one learned fan who couldn't get a ticket, who sat there going, no, actually, it's the semi-finals, actually.
And that's the guy who's telling everyone to shut up, but the problem is, it's only him. You know, all the others are just going, this is a party, let's have a party. So, I mean, look, and they're Dutch, and Dutch, you know, overallingly are just wonderful people, you know that.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, they are.
We all love the Dutch.
I haven't been watching much of the negative reaction videos because they are a bit kind of cruel. I've seen one which is like an Ajax fan in the stadium, and when the goal goes in, all you hear is this, no, and I'm like, oh no, that poor man. I've been there. I've had that done
all right,
to me.
Then.
That is nasty.
You've got a bit of heart. It is nasty. Anyway, overall, it was just obviously the comeback of all comebacks, and I think absolutely fantastic. And I think, you know, it's taken a few days for Spurs fans to really digest everything that has happened. But mate, I wanna just change the subject a little bit, because there's a lot of stuff that we need to go over today. But I wanna just veer it over to Pochettino. You've only just woken up, so I'm not sure that you've seen the headlines in the BBC. But Pochettino. Look at you. I can just go and like, I can see you going, what the fuck's happened? What's going on, mate? It's not that bad. He's still there. All right. But he's come out today and he said this. He said that he would be stupid to stay at the club if they expect similar levels of success without changing the way that they are run. Now, he's got 4 years left on his contract here, but something else that he's come out and said is that he's not open to start a new chapter, because of course he's been there for 5 years and he's talked a lot about the 5-year chapter. He's not open to start a new chapter without a clear idea or without there being 100% transparency. Now, I kind of got the idea and the feeling anyway that him and Levy were okay, but this kind of stinks a little bit.
They are. Like, it's weird.
But isn't that saying that Levy's not doing a good job?
It's weird because he did this last season too. At the end of last season as well, he was like, we need to operate in a different way. We need to do things in a different way. I have to think about it. I want to do things in a different way. And perhaps Levy just needs to go to him, what do you actually mean?
Like, yeah, because he's not a technical director, right? He's not a football director. He's not a person who works within the administrative annals of a football club. So,
Levy or Poch?
No, Poch. Poch is the manager. He's the coach. He deals in football. He deals in training, and he deals in his team. He's got a team, and he needs to control that team. And everything outside of that, yes, okay, he obviously will have influence on the type of players and the possible players that he could bring in next season. And I don't doubt that Livy's going to give him some money next year. I don't know. I heard as well that apparently Levy did give him money last summer, but he didn't use it. I heard that recently as well.
Yeah, there is that going around, and he did. It has been widely said that he didn't want to have certain players that they kind of were more or less lined up for him. I think, from my understanding of what I've seen, there's a few things about the way that Levy operates that Poch doesn't particularly love. Like, he would rather pay the extra million and get the player in a month early, that kind of thing, whereas Levy likes to leave it to the last day, because quite rightly a million pounds, you get into this trap, I think, of thinking that £1 million is nothing, I'll just spend the extra. It's a lot of money, and I have no problem with Levy treating £1 million with the respect that £1 million deserves, but I think sometimes he does.
Because you've got to weigh that up, right? If you get a guy in on the last day of the transfer,
Lucas Moura. Deadline, it's taken Lucas Moura 18 months to get up to speed. Now he's there. Oof.
Well, yeah.
But right, we'll get onto that in a second. It has taken a while.
But like, where do you draw the line on £1 million, right? And a pre-season? Because if you suddenly throw the guy in one day before the Premier League season starts, the player is not going to play in those first few games unless.
Well, I think pretty much every player that Poch has signed, it takes a while for them to get it up to speed. Like, I think Trippier was one where Trippier came from Burnley. So if you remember when he came, Walker was, you know, the number one right back at the time, and Trippier really signed as cover for Walker. But Trippier turned up for his Tottenham medical, the fittest player at Burnley, the player at Burnley that covered the most, the most meters and the most intensive running, and did his medical. And Trippier, there's a comment somewhere where the sports science coach said, oh yeah, okay, you've passed the medical. It's going to take you 7 months to get as fit as we want you to be. And Trippier was like, what do you mean?
That's a Mem moment right there, his face. Yeah.
I mean, and I don't mean that as an effect, but like, it takes players time to get up to Poch's level.
Yeah. Like, we had it at Southampton as well, and we saw it at Southampton as well, and that's why we were very obviously sad for him.
Look at Luke Shaw now.
Fat bastard. Jesus Christ. It's taken him 2 years and he's now as fat as ever.
Anyone who doubts Mauricio Pochettino's fitness methods, look at Luke Shaw now.
Mate, let's move on. Liverpool versus Barcelona on Tuesday. What a match. What a great match. And obviously, we did talk a little bit about it in the last pod. But again, it's worth just revisiting just very quickly exactly what happened. The biggest and loveliest thing that happened was obviously, Suarez striding off the pitch at the end.
He couldn't get out of there quick enough, could he?
He really couldn't. He was just like, I'm out. Mate, Barcelona are in turmoil, are they not? Valverde surely is not going to be keeping his job. And there's even been talk. I know that the chances are slim to none, but there's even been whispers that Messi might be thinking about leaving to try and further his ambitions of getting a Champions League. Because with this Barcelona team, all the talk is that they're too far off it now. They're like Manchester United trying to challenge for the top two in the Premier League. You know, they're just too far off it. Would you give for Messi in the Premier League?
Would you give for Messi in the Premier League? A lot. But at this, I don't know, mate. There's a part of me that doesn't want to expose him to Brighton away on a Wednesday night, you know?
On a Wednesday night in mid-December. It's freaking freezing. Burnley on January 1st.
Mate, the Coca-Cola Cup or the League Cup or whatever it's like. So, Leo, here's the thing. We have to play this midweek game. And yeah, we have to go to this place called Port Vale.
How magical would it be for Port Vale fans to see Leo Messi? I mean, do you remember Cristiano Ronaldo all those years ago when he went to Exeter, I think it was? And, it's just wonderful. Anyway, it's not going to happen, right? We all know.
No, I think talk of Messi going anywhere is just ridiculous. But the talk of them needing an overhaul is on. They're a slow team. If you look at that team that's played on Tuesday, Piqué is a very good defender, is a very knowledgeable defender. But I would say, without Umtiti next to him, okay, I know Umtiti's injured, but like you can see the difference. Longley is all right, but he's not quick. Alba's obviously, I think, still a very good player, but Sergio Roberto on the other side isn't that good. And okay, Semedo is quicker, but I don't rate his game intelligence. But then the midfield, like Busquets, is not what Busquets used to be. Rakitic is an elegant player, but you wouldn't say he's a fast player.
Well, he's been in the firing line big time, hasn't he, after this game as well? So, but mate, since Xavi and Iniesta retired, it's almost like they have seemed to have lost their identity. That's the only way I can think it. And the inclusion of De Jong next year, De Jong might even be, he's not the fastest of players as well. So, but he might be the kind of player that they really need, because they need someone at the back who keeps possession. And of course there was the point between the Liverpool second and third goals. There was what, like a minute and a half or something. And that's unheard of for Barcelona. You know, they don't lose possession so quickly and give it away. So the only thing I can sort of see is if De Ligt joins them, then I think they could be a force. But Dembele, I mean, I feel a little bit, but how must Dembele be thinking and feeling after missing that opportunity to make it 4-0 when Messi went down on the floor and then kind of looked at him with a wry smile, but you knew what Messi was saying. You've just lost the opportunity for us to completely put this to bed, and it's almost like you're not taking it seriously enough. That's
well, and apparently Ousmane Dembele doesn't take anything seriously. Like if you read about it, like Ousmane Dembele seems to be like this really kind of odd character that for a start they had to get him a personal chef, because apparently he can't stop eating McDonald's and KFC and whatever. So like Barcelona had to get him a personal chef that does his meals for him. There's also the story of like when he left Dortmund and they came to clean up his house. And it cost like something in the region of $3,000 to clean up the mess that he'd left behind. So yeah, I think Dembele is an interesting character.
And didn't he injure himself in the first minute against Celta Vigo, in the last match before the Champions League semi-final against second leg against Liverpool? They played against Celta Vigo and lost 2-0. And in that match, he apparently the accusation is that he didn't warm up properly at the beginning. Apparently he wasn't warming up properly, and he got injured after one minute.
On the sideline with his KFC bucket.
This is where I want to be.
Someone's like, that's not a proper warm-up. He was like, you said warm-up? I thought you meant chicken bucket. Shit, sorry.
Sorry. Must be a language barrier thing. Sorry, buddy. Yeah, look, it's a team in turmoil, and we could talk, I think we could do individual podcasts on all these teams. Absolutely. It would be crazy. Mate, 30 seconds very quickly on Arsenal versus Chelsea in Baku. Go.
Yes. Get your money out. Mate, it's horribly disappointing to learn that they're only having 6,000 fans each.
But you're saying it for the wrong reasons.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Because that's not right. True football fans should go out and see the game.
Oh, dear. I mean, we can talk about that quickly. The Atletico Madrid's stadium, it has a capacity of 60,000, if I'm not much mistaken, mm-hmm. and 16,000 have been given to both Liverpool and Tottenham, respectively.
That's 32.
So
what's up with the other 28?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that is unfair, isn't it? I mean,
it's just silly, because you're hurting your own product. Because that's your centerpiece. That's the place where you get people watching. That's your moment to get a child watching and have him hooked for years, and then leave him in the state that you and I are in, mate, where we can't let go and we have to watch all the time. This is their opportunity to get more children in and turn them into stupidified, money-spouting cash cows that people like you and I are. And you're not going to do that with 28,000 people who don't care in a stadium.
They've got the marketing all wrong, haven't they? They're just not looking at the long ball game here, you know. So,
and can I say to anyone out there in the world who's not really a fan, who's been offered a ticket, you give it back. It's not right. It's not for you. Oh, but when would I have the opportunity? It's not right.
It's not yours, mate.
You haven't worked for it. You can't have it. Put it down. Give it back.
Aww. Beautiful. All right. Well, with that, let's take a short break and let's come back. Mate, we didn't talk about Vincent Kompany.
It's a really good thing we didn't talk about Vincent Kompany. Manchester City fans, Vincent Kompany, anyone in general, this week was not about you. I'm not having it because Tottenham and Liverpool staged epic comebacks, unexpected wins against the odds. You beat Leicester at home. No.
All right. Okay.
No.
All right.
Not your week. Excuse Stop.
Me.
Go
it was,
away.
It was a great goal. It was a great goal. That's enough.
It was a great goal, right. But you're not in this conversation. You're not.
All right. Okay. Maybe we'll bring him into the next conversation after the break.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Let's take a short break and we'll be right back.
I don't care. Air. I don't care. Air. There. I said it. I don't care. Surely that's enough for you two punks to now leave me alone, no?
Welcome back to part deux. Ah, we will be discussing the Premier League, but not in a French accent. Not for the whole blimmin' thing, anyway. Mate, we're going to talk about the Premier League fixtures for the final day. Usually, Premier League fixtures for the final day, there's excitement, you know, there's switching between channels, looking at your phone quickly to see what the scores are in the relegation. But this season, and I'm with you, although of course, again, biased because Southampton, I wanted them to be out of trouble quicker. But it has fallen a little flat on the final day because there is absolutely nothing to fight for at all, apart from
the big one,
the Premier League itself. Yeah, yeah. Now, mate, let's talk quickly about Brighton versus Manchester City, and then Liverpool versus Wolves, and then afterwards I want to go through the other matches. And what we'll do is we'll do quick predictions. We'll do it, you know, because we don't really care about them. But I want to talk very quickly, and I want you to tell me very quickly whether you think the teams that are involved in that final day have considered their seasons a success or a failure. Okay.
All right, I think
that'll be it, mate. Liverpool, put your Spurs hat to one side for a second. Uh-huh. Liverpool could win the Champions League, mm-hmm, and the title. Now, then Manchester City, after drawing to Brighton 0-0 because they couldn't get through, go to the through to the final of the FA Cup, and they lose the final of the FA Cup, meaning that, mate, you called it about 4 or 5 weeks ago that this could be the Man City season that is remembered as
the single.
Which, you put, again, put your Tottenham hat to one side and just tell me what you want to happen on this final day of the season. What, think of the whole season. Think about how well Manchester City have played. And it's undoubted, I think, anyway, that Manchester City are a better footballing side with a more comprehensive squad. And when you think about the injuries that they've had, Kompany for most of it, De Bruyne for most of it.
Mendy
for the whole bloody season. Mendy, what's going on? You think about the toughness, the mental aptitude and fortitude that they've had to go through as well. Everybody thinks, oh, because they got the biggest squad, but they've had a lot of injuries to some of their biggest and top players, but they've still made it through. So, mate, what do you want to have happen on the final day? Yeah,
mate, it's an easy answer, because all I want to happen is what happened midweek to an extent. Like in both the Liverpool Barcelona game and the Tottenham Hotspur Ajax game, there's a moment in both those games, like when Wijnaldum scores and when Moura scores the second, where you as a fan, and I saw it, I was with neutrals in the pub when it happened, and you see it and you're like, Oh, it's on! That's all I want. I don't
I love that.
We had the follow up moment in both of those games where it's like, oh, it's happened. It's actually happened.
Very true.
I don't necessarily want to go that far, but I do want to have the moment which is like, oh, this is on. This could happen. Like,
mate, so that would mean Brighton scoring an early goal,
or any goal at any point. Well, that means
no
Brighton
early.
It means Brighton scoring at 0-0 or at 0-1. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, Man City could score the first one and then sort of halfway through the first half, or maybe even in the beginning of the second half, yeah.
Brighton could score a goal after 5 minutes and realistically be 2-0 down. Like, it could be a consolation. City's way. And they did in the semi-final. Concede, I think, after 3 minutes, didn't they? That's what I really want to avoid. They did have a big chance like that. Let's look at that semi-final. They concede after 3 minutes. They then defend like with two banks of five. I think they had a pack six or something. And then they had one chance where I think it's Laporte hooks the ball off the line. What I want on Sunday is for that to go in. that's what I want. Like, you know, I want the Anfield to have that ripple of, have you seen what's happened at Brighton? Like, I want that ripple of, oh, and then the big, what nobody wants And what surely someone has briefed Man City on, someone at the Premier League has gone, whatever you do, don't roll over them in the first 20. Like, please, don't be 4-0 up.
Give us a bit of something. The only
person who perhaps would like that to happen is the helicopter pilot. You know, the one who's got the trophy.
Okay. Should I go left? No. Go right. Oh, go left. No. Go right. Turn back. 180.
Yeah,
this is not fun. I'm not enjoying it.
which he doesn't want to do. So he's
no,
like,
I hate to tell you, but what they're going to do is the official one is going to be at Brighton, and they're going to have a replica at Liverpool. Sorry, mate. They've got a replica at Anfield.
Helicopter pilots, they need to earn money. What are they? Come on.
It's a rough enough business as it is.
It is.
Going into these matches, what you'd have to say is Manchester City have just been getting over the line in so many of their last matches. Brighton have come into their own a little bit since they were declared safe. They had a great couple of results recently. Liverpool are off the back of that absolutely exhilarating match, but Wolves have the best record against top six teams this season of teams outside the top six. So it has got a bit of something there, doesn't it? I mean, it could, you know, something could happen. I mean,
you wish that Man City were playing Wolves. That's what you really do wish. That
you
would
do,
be
you do. But here's a scenario as well that Brighton scores sort of near the last minute or something to equalize against Man City, and it's a draw. But then Liverpool don't make it over the line with Wolves. I guess that would be the, because we've just had arguably one of the most exciting weeks of football, of you know, including the Premier League when you've got company in there and everything. I'm going to put him in there. It's been unbelievable. Exclude that Arsenal and Chelsea stuff. But it has been an incredible, incredible week for football. And, you know, with everything that has happened over this last week, how can you not feel like something's going to happen this weekend? You know, I just feel like something.
It's got to carry on. It needs to. Come on, football.
Come on, football. I'm with you. Although, you know what? I'm rooting. I'm sorry, and I think you probably realise, but I'm rooting for Man City. I'm not a big Liverpool fan. I'm sorry, and I for all
no,
my Liverpool
you have reasons.
There,
you have your reasons.
I do have my reasons, and there's quite a few of them out there. Yeah,
they're good reasons. Mate, I want Liverpool to do it purely because if they do, they might not care about the Champions League.
Oh, okay, for you. Yeah. So personal,
you know,
game,
they
personal
might
game.
they might turn up in Madrid and go, "Oh, we've already got the trophy we want."
In their sandals. Yeah, totally.
look at those plucky Tottenham lads. We've all seen the thing when Lucas Moura cried, "Oh, let's let him have it."
Oh.
Someone kick Hendo in the knee so he can't play and let him have it.
Oh dear. Yeah, well, look, I mean, one thing which is good, I guess, for Liverpool this weekend, probably not good for you, is Mo Salah is back.
Is he?
Yeah, he's back from concussion.
What about Bobby and his teeth?
No, Bobby and his teeth and his groin are all out with a problem. but they are saying that Firmino should be fit for the Champions League final. Anyway, look, we'll see what sort of happens as well. I mean, Henderson and Robertson have also got knee injuries, so you would imagine that. I mean, you'd imagine they rest a few players for this, but I don't know. Anyway, Tottenham certainly will, but we'll get onto that, mate. Let's go through the Premier League matches of the weekend very quickly and talk very quickly about what we think their respective seasons have been. Okay, so let's talk about Tottenham first. Tottenham versus Everton. Talk about the actual game first. How many first team players do you really think Tottenham
mate,
are going to be?
It's got to happen. It's got to happen. Oliver Skipper's got to get on the field, isn't he?
But it happened against Bournemouth. That's what you said was going to happen against Bournemouth, and look what happened there. They just put everybody on.
Oh no, come on, Poch has surely got to put like come on. There's none of them you're going to risk, surely. Like Nkudu, Skip. Jansen, Gazzaniga, this is what I want to see.
These, excuse me, sorry. There is a possibility that Tottenham lose that fourth spot to Arsenal if there is an 8-goal swing. That would mean, conceivably, you losing 3-0 to Everton and Arsenal going up to Burnley and winning 5-0. But
I don't see them getting 5 against Burnley. They might get 3 and we might lose 5-0 at home.
We don't want narrative, I guess, at this point. At least you don't. Not if the narrative means that Tottenham might not make
it. I almost don't care.
If they win the Champions League, do they get a berth?
Yes. I mean, if we were to concede an 8-goal swing and then go to Madrid and win, we would then knock Arsenal out of the place that we'd just given them.
Oh, so maybe it's even better. All right. Okay. Good. Tottenham versus Everton, mate.
Unless, of course, Arsenal went and won the Baku final, and then they'd be in it that way. Oh, anyway.
What a mess. All right. So, quick prediction for Tottenham versus Everton, mate. What do you think?
I think Everton will win 2-0.
2-0. All right. Okay. I'm probably going with you on that one. Very good. Let's talk about Arsenal then. Burnley. They're going to go up there. What do you think is going to happen here?
I think Arsenal will win 1-0.
1-0? Oh, okay. All right, yeah. Okay.
I think they're probably 1-0 up and then thinking, oh, shit, we need all these goals. And then Burnley get one on the counter.
Yeah, and then put that fire out. Very good. Mate, Burnley season, what do you think?
Burnley? Fine. I mean, terrible first half, good second half, evens itself out. Burnley are Burnley. There's not much difference.
Sean Dyche to continue in a job next season. Yeah, fair enough. Mate, we'll go through them very quickly. Palace versus Bournemouth.
To Roy for living. Well done.
Hey, Roy, because we...
One game left, Roy. That's all you've got.
Just talking about fucking Lady Fate just before this.
Oh, I have invited her, haven't I? Oi, Lady Fate, stay the fuck away from Roy, all right?
You can tell her to stay away, but you've just opened that door. You're like, hello? Did someone let me in? All right, Crystal Palace, mate, will Zaha be there next season? He's just signed a new contract, isn't he? No, you don't think so. Okay. Where will he go to? Where will he go? Do you want him to come to Spurs?
We could use him at Spurs, but I think that's what Potts is talking about in terms of like getting players. We could take him. I wonder if he's the right personality. Like, he does seem a little bit of an oddball. But I think Wilf could go. I mean, Wilf could go play for a Champions League team anywhere. Like, Wilf could realistically go to someone like, I know, he could go play for PSG even, or. Or at someone like Atletico Madrid. Like, you know, he's powerful, quick, you know, good with both feet. Like, he doesn't have to necessarily stay in England.
Chances of him going back to Man United?
Oh, that would be silly. Don't do that, Wilf. Don't do that. That'd just be silly. Don't do it.
Nobody's going to want to go to Man United, are they? So, Bournemouth, they've done this again. They keep doing it, don't they? They keep doing this yo-yo stuff.
It's great beginning to the season, terrible ending.
Yeah, it's so hard to predict what they're going to do. But mate, it's their fourth or fifth straight season in the Premier League since they came up. So they've done really well, I think.
And they play nice football. But there is going to get to the stage where Eddie Howe needs to leave. Otherwise, he's going to find himself in the Alan Kirbishley situation.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, God.
You remember, like, Kerbs at Charlton.
He's been there
so long. And then you don't know how to manage anyone else. You know?
Very true. Poor old Kerbs. What happened to him? All right. Okay. So, hopefully he'll leave for bigger and better things. I'm dying to get down to Chelsea, but I'm just going through this through alphabetical order. Fulham versus Newcastle, mate. Mike Ashley, is he going to finally sell Newcastle United?
No. And Benitez is off. I'm sorry. I think Rafa's just had it. Like, Rafa's.
They won't sign Salomon Rondon on a permanent because he's too expensive.
Like, isn't there the thing where they took Rondon and then paid West Brom to take Gale?
That's right. Yeah.
Gale's the top scorer in the championship, isn't he?
It's just crazy. Absolutely something crazy like that. What they've done there. I mean, to be a Newcastle fan, I mean, you've been through the ringer, haven't you? So yeah. I feel for Newcastle fans. I really do. And, Fulham, maybe, mate, Scotty Parker's been given the full-time job there.
Good for
so,
him.
Yeah, I think so. Couldn't have happened
Fulham
to
Fulham have had a terrible season, you know, though. Absolutely horrendous.
Well, they've been through three managers, haven't they, this season? So, Jurkanović was unfairly dismissed, I think, but he already seemed like he was knowledgeable in the fact that he was conducting a sinking ship, wasn't he? He was sailing that sinking ship. So when he handed it over to Ranieri, I don't know what that was all about. Ranieri came in, hi, I live just next door. Remember, we took the piss out
of
that one.
Yes.
And then in comes Scotty Parker once they've already gone down. So no, he came in when they were still up, but like there was like they were
no
down
hope.
Within
games. It was like no hope.
All right, well, do you think they'll bounce back?
No, I don't actually.
No, me neither. I don't think they will. So competitive is the championship these days.
Yes.
That, yeah, I don't think so. Mate, this is the one I want to talk about. Leicester versus Chelsea. The Brodge has done really well.
Mate,
there was a lot
of Leicester City team. That Leicester City team looks good.
It does. It very much does. Although, when Maddison goes, because he's going to go back to Chelsea, isn't he?
Maddison? Back to Chelsea? What? Huh?
What? Sorry. Hang on. What? Have I got that wrong? Sorry.
Madison came from Norwich. I mean, he might have been at Chelsea before that.
Who am I thinking of? The guy who is it? No, James Maddison. You're right. Sorry. No. Who have they brought? Oh God. All right. No, don't worry. We'll get to it. I'll get to it in a second. Yes,
right.
You're right. Keep going. They're a good team.
I'm going to talk about how Leicester City are a good team, and you're going to work out what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah.
When you look at their team,
it's the Derby guy. Sorry, I'm mixing them up.
You're talking about Mason Bloody Mount.
Mason Mount. Sorry. Yeah. All right,
anyway, but if you look at that Leicester City team, I would say who could play in the Champions League? The goalkeeper, yes.
Yes.
Chilwell, yes. Slabhead, Harry Mack, yes. Johnny Evans, probably not anymore, but he has. He's still a pretty decent player. Pereira, yeah.
Yeah, voted as the player of the season by Leicester supporters, wasn't he?
Tillemans, if they can keep him, absolutely.
Won't be able to keep him, though, will
no,
they?
No, they probably won't.
Let's be realistic. He's played too well, actually. That was the problem.
Yes, this has gone too well. This is what you've done, lad, is you've played too well.
So stupid. You're so... Harvey Barnes, I love him as well.
Yeah, young and up and coming. I've always kind of liked Damari Gray. Vardy is a rat,
mate,
bastard,
rat.
As we all know.
The rat.
I mean, you need to get rid of it.
I like old Brighton.
Yeah.
I think he comes in and out a little bit, but he's been a bit injured this season, hasn't he?
Ndidi has been quality.
Yeah. Who I only recently found out is just 22 years old. He's so young. It's unbelievable.
He's a baby.
Yes.
He's a little... if Leicester can keep that together, and Brodge is a pretty good fit for them... I know. Yep. I expect them and Wolves to be knocking on the, you know, like in and around fifth, you know, like I expect them to, I mean, Wolves are going to invest, aren't they? I mean, Wolves are going to, you know, Georgie Minge is going to make João Felix go there probably, like something like that, you know, like.
Oh, I've heard Man City are in for him. So,
Georgie Minge has gone. All right, you see him in the Wolves board meeting. Look, I know I promised you all João Felix, but the Abu Dhabi lot have offered me a lot of cash to send him there. So I'm going to take that.
Is he Felix's agent?
Of course he is. Isn't he everyone's agent? He's your agent, isn't
probably.
He?
You're probably right. Mate, a final word in relation to Leicester. Our good friend Sinji. What's going on with him? Well, I want him back, but he's 33 now. Is it the end of Shinji Okazaki?
Yeah, probably, isn't it?
Oh, it's sad, mate. It's sad. All right. And the other one, which I'm actually very curious to talk about very quickly, is Chelsea. Mauricio Sarri has guided Chelsea to, well, they're third at the moment. And it looks like they're going to stay third because Tottenham are not going to put out of good team and you've already put the forecast on the fact they're going to lose 2-0 on the last day. So they're probably going to end up in third. He's taken them through to the final of the League Cup, which, fair enough, they lost, but still. And he has taken them through to the final of the Europa League Cup as well. Will he be there next season?
Yeah, I think he will, just by way of the fact that Abramovich has lost all interest, seemingly. So, like, and you know that nothing gets done at Chelsea, or nothing big gets done at Chelsea without Abramovich signing off on it.
Like, very true.
So, I think, like, what's her face? Is it Garrickskaya? Maria Garrick? Is that? You know who I mean.
The technical director who's in there.
Yeah, who's basically running the club day to day, but she's like sent Roman an email, and that email is just entitled "Sarri?" And and it pops back into her inbox with "nudge," and then she's like dismissed "nudge," and sometimes she just like she writes something saying, "Hey Roman, just wanted to put this back at the top of your inbox," and then she's not getting a response. And that email is about what he wants to do about Sarri or whatever. And so she's just carrying on. And I should imagine that'll happen for another year.
Oh, dear. And of course, the big talk, of course, is Hazard going to still be there next season?
No.
No. Okay. He's off to Real, isn't he? He's only got one year left on his contract. And Chelsea, apparently, according to reports, are holding out for $100 million. For a player who is in his last...
He's 29, Hazard?
Yes, and he's 29 as well. So, I mean, how can you do... Like, he's 28?
Well, Ronaldo cost $100 million, didn't he? And he's older than that, but obviously a better player than Hazard. Well, not even a better player, but certainly a more effective player.
Yes. Like
a more tightly winny player.
Yes. Yeah. Even at 33.
And much more brandable than Hazard even. But yes. I'm with you. I don't think they need to pay $100 million. It seems.
So they'll be jostling and they'll just wait. But all the talk is, of course, that is the big transfer of the summer. Mate, can I just something that popped into my head just the other day, actually, before we continue with the final three matches of the Premier League season. With the way the Premier League is at the moment and with the players that there are and with the fact that Ronaldo is now 33 and Messi is also getting on and he's untouchable and Mbappe is probably not going anywhere other than Real Madrid, if anywhere. Who's the best... Like, if you were going to look at the summer and think of a proper marquee top of the range football player to come to one of the top Premier League teams like a Liverpool, like a Man City, not that they do that because they don't usually do that, do they?
Well, there you go, there's your thing. They don't do that and they won't do that, and Klopp and Pep don't want to do that. They don't want the superstars, they want to make a superstar. So and then with Abramovich having lost interest, you don't really see where that's gonna there'll be a lot of players who come in, but I mean Hazard, I don't see a lot of superstars really going anywhere. I think it's the fashion now. People will be looking at Pep and Klopp and going, let's buy players who are at that layer below, like your Van Dijks and your Alissons.
Yep.
Players who are not in clubs that are not the top echelons, but like just the layer below, who are going to cost you a pretty penny to get them out of there. Even like your Laporte, right? Laporte was at Athletic Bilbao and they paid an incredible amount of money for a centre back. I think it's still a record for a centre back, isn't it? Like 60 million quid.
Yeah, well, Van Dijk broke that, but
at the time. So I think what you're going to see is a lot of those type of signings. You're not going to see Neymar signings where one club wants to make a splash. I don't think that's going to happen, because Tuchel at PSG, who are the one club who do that, who can't do it because of financial fair play, and then it's not really Tuchel's MO anyway. So I don't, other than the Hazard to Madrid, and maybe another one to Madrid somewhere, because Madrid do need to remind everybody that they exist. So there might be, but I don't see really any big transfers happening this summer.
And again, certainly not in the Premier League as well, no. Right? So I would probably say probably one of the biggest ones to go would be Matthijs de Ligt, because I mean, and I don't understand why they haven't done that yet. You know what I mean? Like, it's why hasn't someone gone in already? People must have already gone in, right? I mean,
yeah,
I'm not stupid or anything, but like, you know, I would imagine that they do it. There was talk as well of Griezmann going back to Barcelona again. I mean, it's every single fucking season, though, isn't it? One more I want to talk to you about in terms of transfers is the Bale thing. Jesus, he's not gonna come back to Manchester United, is he? I mean,
well, he's got to go somewhere, because apparently Zidane's kind of at it. Like, he wants out.
Wow. Okay.
It wouldn't surprise me if Bale plays golf next year as his profession, really. Like,
and then that would be it. And I guess finally the last one would be, you know, Eriksen to Real Madrid. There's been a lot of talk about that as well.
If Eriksen doesn't sign a contract, he will go.
Like, okay, all right. Are you okay with that?
Am I okay with it? No. Okay. Like, he's a very important player, and we don't have another player like him, but he's got his contract into the position he's got it into, and I understand that we can't let him go for free at the end of life. No. We can't. Eriksen, if you ever see him interviewed and whatever, he does live up to that stereotype of a Scandinavian in that he's cold and quite calculating and calm and all of that stuff. And I've just had the feeling for a while that he wants to go play in Europe. Like, he wants to try a Madrid or a Barcelona or whatever it may be. And so I think unless even winning the whole Champions League thing, I think for Eriksen, he might be like, I've done it. I want to go try do something else. He's not like...
In fact, maybe even winning it might even tilt it even more.
Yeah, you know what I mean? it might well. And I don't think he's like Kane and Ali or even Rose, who have that emotional bond
attachment,
with the club.
That's true.
An attachment. I don't think Eriksen has that. And I think he'll
been
probably
there for 7 years, 6 or 7 years now.
Yeah.
So he's I hate the phrase, he's done his time. I hate that phrase. I think it's not a cool phrase to do. But like,
but he's also not this player that goes around like whacking the badge when he scores a goal. You know, like he's true.
That's true.
He's not that guy. But obviously, I would love if I read like, you know, Tottenham double his wages and he stays and there's a picture.
Yeah.
I would love it because he's a very important key player, and we absolutely must not sell him to a Premier League team. Like, that must not happen. But I feel like it's kind of coming, and we'll have to find someone up and coming to replace him. But it's sad, but I think he's kind of coming.
All right, mate, let's finish off with the Premier League very quickly. Manchester United versus Cardiff. Mate, Man United, how about their season?
They're a mess. They're an absolute mess of a team, and I do enjoy it.
Again, we could have a whole podcast on the shenanigans that have happened over Manchester United. Mate, this is being dubbed as the Solskjaer Derby.
Well, it was Manchester... his impressive form at Cardiff that first alerted them to Ole's abilities.
Very true.
Now you can say it's only now that we're beginning to see his Cardiff form.
He's come out. Apparently, a reporter actually asked him a question, and they said, "What are the chances of you winning the Premier League next season?" I think it's mean. I think that's nasty of the reporter to ask that question. It's not fair to do that. I mean, unless he's got some kind of real personal beef against.
They'll need to buy players. They're going to need to purchase people.
Yes, absolutely. They will. Mate, sorry, I've completely forgotten to ask you a question, and I'm really sorry to go back onto this, but and it goes back to Spurs. Did you see I'm sure you did, the post-match interview with Pochettino directly after the match. It went for about 14 minutes, if I'm not much mistaken. And the very last question that was asked, and I've noticed that not many people are talking about this, but the very last question that was asked was, "Hi, I've got two questions for you. The first question is, will Harry Kane be fit
Ciao.
For the final?"
And
he got up and he left.
Mate, you know, good right on up. Him. Good Mate, on I'm, him. Like, I saw, totally, I've seen that. I've seen that, and I wanted to, like, for fuck's sake. And it was the
let him enjoy.
It's not about Harry bloody Kane. And it's like, not.
There's so much talk about Harry. I mean, if he's fit, he's fit, and if he's not, he's not. Simple.
It's,
I think,
three,
you know,
weeks away. It's, I mean, we're gonna have nothing but build up. Like, after this weekend's gone, all we're going to have is build up to that game. Why do you want to start it now?
It's so stupid. Very stupid. I think, I mean, his reaction could have been a bit more, let's say, professional. And he could have just said, please don't ask me that question now at this point in time. And then listen to the second question and answer the second question. But I can totally understand his frustration. And I think the same guy asked him the question. I think it was the same guy asked him the question the day before, saying, last 2 days ago, you said that you would quit and go home if you won the Champions League. Is that still the case? Like, I think it was the same guy. And his answer was like, yes, I will. And I've noticed that he's now said in two press conferences that he will no longer be, pretty much kind of, no longer be the manager of Tottenham. And that's just gone, like, no one said anything about that second one, have they? Because the second time he just went, yes. He said yes. I don't know if you saw that as well, the post-match, the pre-match.
I've seen that second one being reported on as heavily sarcastic. Like, I've actually read in The Guardian writer saying, he was writing an article about what's going to happen next, and he was talking about the first one, and the first one, it was unclear and not sure what he's saying, and is he joking, is he not joking? He says he's not. But the consensus of opinion seems to be on the second one, the Potts was giving a sarky answer to kind of make him go away.
Okay. All right. I saw that, and I didn't think it was sarky enough. If it was, then fair enough.
But you I operate on a different level of sarky. Because we wouldn't have said, yes, that is the case. You would have gone, yeah, I'm going home. I'm going to go to the bedroom when I talk to my kids, and I'm going home.
I spoke to the missus yesterday. I'm off. Of course I am. I thought I already told you guys that last week, didn't I? Yeah, I'm leaving.
Mate, it would be great if you were to go into Tottenham and to become Poch's sarcasm coach.
We need to work on your sarcasm, Poch. It's just not cutting it. last two games, quickly, because this is already dragging on, and we were going to talk about the Championship playoffs coming up. Southampton versus Huddersfield, mate. Southampton season, go for it.
Could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
Would have been a lot better if they got in the rabbit hutch a bit earlier.
Why am I asking you this question?
Let me ask you, what do you think just a couple of minutes, a couple of, you know, sentences or so, next season, where do you expect to finish?
Oh, mate, seventh. I'm excited. I am excited. Yeah,
back
mate.
In
yeah,
for the Everton
yeah.
Cup.
Yeah, yeah, go for the Everton Cup. Best of the rest. I am excited. There's already been movement. We've already signed Danny Ings on a permanent deal. Woohoo! Oh, that's what the doctor ordered.
How did that get left out of our transfer number?
I don't know. I'm so happy. I'm the happiest I have been in since Koeman left. Basically, I mean, when Koeman left, I was so furious with him. Angry, didn't know what was going on. Pellegrini came in and made a complete hash. Hughes, what a dick. So happy that the rabbit hutch is there. So there you go. That's it. And I think they've got. It's funny because they got. Our owner, Mr. Chow, is a Chinese businessman, and he wants Southampton to go pre-season to China. So what they're going to do is they're going to have a week in Austria, Rabbit Hutch's home, and then a week in China, and then a week in Ireland, to a camp in Ireland, and then back to play some friendlies just before the new season starts. And it's funny because I saw his interview yesterday and everybody was saying, are the players ready for the regime that you're going to put them under? And he seemed pretty cool about it. And I'm not sure that he is actually going to put them through their paces, but I hope he does. I hope he does, because we want to be doing really well next season. Nobody's talked about us being a conversation in the top, in the sort of 7th to 10th place. So I'm very, very excited about that. So there you go, Huddersfield, mate. Quick sentence about Huddersfield.
Down pointless and not coming back.
Okay, good. Watford versus West Ham. Come on, let's finish this off.
Watford are one of my favourite teams to watch, with a bit of Troy Deeney, yeah, a bit of Delefeu, a bit of Decore in the middle.
Will they be able to hold on to their superstars?
Yeah, because they're not kind of... I mean, I think Decore's off.
Decore, yeah.
I think actually I wouldn't mind Decore coming to Tottenham. Like, we'll sell Wanyama to someone and we'll have a bit of Decore. Him and Sissoko in the middle? Oof, that's a strong midfield.
Hello. Because Harry Winks' situation...
You're not running
not
off
great.
The back of them. No, Winks is... There's talk of Winks being fit for Madrid.
Yeah, but he's... I'm just talking about his long-term injuries. I mean, he's just been...
He's all right. He's a kid and he's coming through. I'd be more worried about... No. Winks, he's fine. Little Larry Winks. When you see Larry Winks, don't you wanna like spit on your sleeve and then like wipe his face with it? It's just a lovable little scamp.
He's not fucking newt who's been discovered in Aliens 2, you know. He's not filthy. Come on. All right, mate, let's take a quick break and let's come back and really wrap up the championship very, very quickly.
Yeah, we've been really big on the championship. We are your source for it.
So let's do it.
Let's do it.
I think I'm going to have a part A when this season is over. Part A? Part A? Part A? There's nothing else to play for. Just let it all go already.
Mate, the championship this season has been very entertaining, but the truth is...
No, it hasn't. Something else has been very entertaining. That's where the entertainment is at. El Loco.
Regardless of how many people say it's been extremely entertaining and how you know, competitive it is and how the teams keep swapping positions, I'll be honest... And call me a terrible football fan if you want to. I haven't watched a single championship game this year. A single
one. I've watched bits and pieces of it. Mate, I'm very much in love with Norwich's big striker.
Right, okay.
Purely his name. Timo Pukki. Okay.
Timo Pukki, yeah. Now,
what a name. All right, Pukki. Oh, lovely.
Timo Pukki. He's from Finland, right? He's a Finn, mm-hmm. And it'll be nice to see Finland represented in the Premier League next season, of course. But he's had I have heard about him on a few occasions in the past, and you know, it seems almost weird. And I'm sure they didn't think he was going to be as good as he has been this season. He scored 29 goals this season for Norwich in their fight to get up. And he's played just really well, hasn't he? So it's great. It's great to have Timo Pukki.
Lovely.
Bring him on. It is, absolutely. Mate, a quick word for the overlapping centre-back system that many people are talking about with Sheffield United.
Mate, can you explain that to me?
No, I can't. I was hoping you'd explain it to me.
No. What's an overlapping centre-back? Like,
so,
what does that
my
mean?
Understanding is that they basically do the full-backs jobs, and the full-backs fall into the middle. A bit like, so Guardiola's system, for example.
Oh, like when Lahm used to go into the middle at Bayern München.
Yeah, yeah. So Lahm comes into the middle, and in the fullback system that you got Mendy, not so much, but Zinchenko and who's on the other side for Man City?
Walker.
They very often had this system, and Mourinho was even sort of saying, yeah, make them do it against us when they play against each other. And these fullbacks were coming into the middle of the park to produce a kind of W shape so that you can get out of defense easier. So the two centre-backs pull out to the wide positions, mm-hmm. and the full-backs go up and then into the middle. So they sort of become like two defensive midfielders.
Doesn't that give you a massive hole? Oh, but if you've got Edison as your goalkeeper.
You've got Edison there, yeah. And then what you've got is Fernandinho dropping into centre-back.
So. I would love it if next year Edison went, I'm playing him in midfield. I'm just doing it. And then wins the Ballon d'Or. For like fucking Pirlo in the middle of the...
Beautiful. He is in slippers. You can see a mistake in him, but he just doesn't make them.
No.
Mental. So the idea is the overlapping centre-backs then take on the role of the full-backs and they go up the wings and go down the line and cross or whatever. Basically. That's the idea of this. At least I think so anyway. That's what it
Mate,
seems
there's to a, be. There's a giant hole somewhere.
Like, yeah, there is.
Once someone's going to go... There's some space. Oh, there.
Well, what they're saying is that it's working really well in the Championship, but they're going to very quickly get found out in the Premier League, and they're going to be in big, big trouble. So they need to change their style of play. Very interesting to see how it happens, because we all saw what happened to Fulham. Mm. Mate, a word for Chris Wilder. Is he related to Gene Wilder in any way?
He must be.
Surely. All right. Very good. Credit to him. He has come up all the way through the leagues, being at Halifax and whatnot. And he's now Sheffield United. He's a Sheffield United fan through and through. So really happy for him and really happy for Norwich, obviously, to come up, which leaves us with the small matter of the playoffs, mate. And we know, regardless of how many games we watch or don't watch in the Championship, as the case may be, the playoffs always is
Mate,
always
the playoff
fun.
Final,
isn't it?
The playoff final is one of my favorite matches of the season, because that's when you get to see desperation. Like,
explain it to people who know that the Premier League is so fantastic and don't understand why you're saying it's one of your favorite games of the season.
Well, because it's a game to get in the Premier League. Right. And it's two teams who've been playing pretty well all season. They finished in the top six, so they're like on form. So that they're playing well and they're confident. But it's one game to get back into the Premier League. It's desperation everywhere. I mean, I've seen some great playoff games. Do you remember the Charlton Sunderland? Is it 5-5? And then Mickey Gray misses a penalty. Clive Mendonca scored a hat. Where the fuck is Clive Mendonca now? Nobody knows. Like, Clive Mendonca scored a hat trick for the ages. Go back and find that on YouTube. What a game that was. Oh, it was insanely good.
Mate, you're really going for it. It was in the noughties, mate. It wasn't in the 90s, that game. Fucking hell. But anyway, absolutely.
Look it up. It's one of the greatest games of all time.
I've got it right here. 4-4. Charlton won it 7-6 on penalties.
Oh. Oof. Mate. Dean Windass's volley for Hull in an otherwise boring game. And
yes.
Electric. Very lit true. Up. Off you go. There was, there's been some great playoff finals. Sometimes Very one true. Of the team comes out and murders the other team 3-0 after 25 minutes. And you're like just seeing them in pain. Last year you had Fulham sneaking through. And what was the one that QPR won against Derby, I think, where Derby absolutely murdered them for the whole game. And then
that was just a few years ago.
Let Bobby Zamora in. And like,
they
go nuts. Yeah. Love me a playoff. And the thought that Bielsa could be at the playoff final.
Well, here we go, mate. Tasty. The two matches that are in the playoffs are four big teams. Four teams with great history in the Premier League already. You wouldn't say it's bad for any of those four to come up. We've got Aston Villa, we've got West Brom, we've got Derby, and we've got Leeds, mate.
Mate, Derby County. You've got to want a Villa Leeds final. I think that's like
you want to see
because of all the crap that happened the other week.
That's
like,
true. That's
like
true.
You've got to want to see it, and you've got to want to see Bielsa versus Terry part two. Oh,
mate, I'd love it, and I'd love to see a final where Leeds absolutely slaughter them. Yeah, in the final. I'd love it. I'd love it. But before that, we've got Fat Frankie Lamps against Bielsa. Mate, who will prevail in this one? Obviously,
Frankie Lamps, but we all want it to be Bielsa.
Oh, God, no, please. We had the whole Spygate thing a little bit earlier this season.
I believe in the league this year, Leeds have beaten Derby handily in both games that they've played.
In both games, that's very true. Yes, yeah. And of course, Leeds are coming into this out of the four teams with the worst run, right? Their form is just horrific. They've lost three out of the last five.
Yeah, but they've had a little rest. They've had a little rest now. They've had 2 weeks off, and I think Bielsa is all about batteries, isn't it? It's all about getting that energy back. Because like he will run you ragged.
Very true.
I have a nice little feeling for Leeds to get there. And
okay. Well, as of course you know, the format is semi-finals are two-legged.
So with no away goals.
Yes, you're right. It's no away goals. That's how it should be, shouldn't it?
Recently I've become a big fan of the away goals.
You change your tone, mate. Love it, mate. If there was no away goals in that match,
there'd be nothing.
Yeah. It'll be 3-3. No, because it would just be 3-3 and then you go to extra time, right?
Yeah, and we would have lost. And the City game as well would have gone to extra time.
That's very true. Yeah, you bastard. You've had two. Fuck off with your I don't like it. I'm going to go back and try and find where you said that. All right, okay. Mate, it's going to be fantastic. I think we've done really well this. Mate, did you know that today is the 77th episode of our podcast that we have recorded since the beginning of June last year?
Mate, that means we're doing pretty much one every day and some every morning.
Not quite that much. What, twice? 1.3 a week, I think it works out to. And of course, we had a break between the World Cup and the Premier League. So I think we've done pretty darn well. There was the Christmas period as well when I was in Portugal, couldn't record. And we've done really well. I think we've done really well.
What are we saying for Villa West Brom? What are we saying there?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, we missed that one. Sorry. We've got Dean Smith and John Terry against what should have been Darren Moore, but instead it's James Shan in his first managerial role there. I feel like West Brom should lose because of what they did to Darren Moore. But most people who you speak to who are West Brom fans, very, very large majority of them say there's no room for sentiment in this game. And they're right. There isn't. And he was just being found out. But they brought in James Shan, who was the caretaker and who was the caretaker manager, but also the assistant manager for a very long time as well. He's had no other managerial experience as well. So they've taken one out and put the same thing back in. But credit to James, he's done a very good job because he's kept them there. Mate, Jack Grealish is in the form of his life at the moment. All the talk, of course, is regardless of what happens to Aston Villa, even if they do go up this season, he's too good to stay there. But Dean Smith, manager of Aston Villa, has actually come out and said that West Brom are favourites. I don't know. Villa have been the surprise team that have crept in with their amazing form. So on that, I can see what Dean Smith is trying to do. Himself not favourites, to try and be the underdog things and all that stuff. But Villa are coming into this full of fire. So it's Villa Leeds, mate. It's going to be Villa Leeds. It's what we want. Yeah, it's what we want and it's what it should be.
Give us what we want.
It's the message of football. Take football by the scruff of the neck. Give us what we want. Just do it. And mate, very quickly, why not? I did have a little extra section here, by the way, and I thought we'd finish off. Because We are famous, obviously, on our podcast for not going for, whilst everyone's going for player of the season and candidate for goal of the season and all of that, mate, the two biggest ones that I've got, player of the season, it's not player of the season, it's the biggest dick of the season, and own goal of the season, not goal of the season, one own goal of the season. So I want you to put your thinking cap on, and I want you to come back next week when we review the Premier League and go for it. But some of the candidates are Phil Jones, mate. I think
For being,
you know, dick of the season. Plus, he scored two own goals this season, so he's done very
only
well.
Only two.
One against Valencia, one against Spurs. He has. And just for his facial expressions, trying to clear things off the line. Alexis Sanchez and Paul Pogba. Mate, I don't know why, but the three candidates that I put on as far as I got are all Man United players.
Mate, I'd like to add one in there. Luis Suarez.
Luis Suarez, okay.
And then for own goal of the season, Luis Suarez kicking Robertson in the legs, forcing him to go off so that Wijnaldum could come on and score two goals.
All right, an indirect.
But it's two. There's two of them.
Oh, so it's a double in there.
So it's two halves make a one. So,
mate, and finally, right at the end of this running order, I don't know if you had time to scroll all the way down to the bottom. Well, I was on the Opta page a little bit earlier, and I was on. Let's have a look at. Because Connor Cody is leading the charts for own goals, three own goals, but he's also leading the amount of minutes played by a Premier League player. So, in terms of percentages, you know, it probably gives. But I went on to least minutes played. I don't know why. Here I am being a real dick and a real asshole. And there's a bunch of players who've only played 1 minute. Rafael Camacho has played 1 minute this season. James Gardner for Man United, Tyreek Johnson for Southampton, Max Kilman for Wolves, Will Norris for Wolves, and Pape Suare for Crystal Palace. They've all played 1 minute this season for their respective teams. And Luke Amos needs a shout in there. He's played 2 minutes for Tottenham. Do you know, mate, was that two late substitutions, or was that one late substitution where he got 2 minutes?
I think it's one.
Sorry, it's not fair, and it's not very nice of me to do this.
No, it's I 1 minute that. More than you've played in the Premier League.
Oi, oi, there you go. Thank you. And I do hope for better fortunes for all of you next season. A lot of these people are, I know Tyreek Johnson, for example, he's a youngster and everything. So fingers crossed, hopefully you'll get a little bit of a better shot. But yeah, just the 1 minute. Right, okay, so maybe I should put my name in there for the biggest dick of the season candidates. What do you reckon?
Yes.
Be such a dick.
It's a nomination. All right. I didn't say you're gonna win it. It's a nomination.
I think we've done really well, mate. Good stuff. We will be back. Will we get a miracle this Sunday and have some excitement on the final day of the season? Fingers crossed. Mate, I'm just curious. What match are you actually going to watch? Because this is, of course, the famous one.
Split
where
screen.
Split screen. For Liverpool and Man City.
Man City on the big screen and Liverpool on the small one.
Well, there you go. And so in terms of percentages, that's what you think the percentage chance of the wins are, isn't it?
Well,
so,
Man City is something's got to happen there, you know?
Right. Yeah, for something, yes. Whereas Liverpool, because of the form they've been in, they could conceivably be 3-0 up at half-time. Yeah. And that could be that over. And then they'll have half a near on whatever's going on at the Amex. But the pressure on Houghton to do something, I don't think there's any pressure on Houghton. I think he's just going to be like, you know, let's just go and enjoy ourselves. And if we do so happen to trip Manchester City up, it's their fault. So I'm pretty sure that there's that. Good stuff. Okay, I think we've done very well. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, and whichever matches you're watching, enjoy the Premier League. I hope you've enjoyed this season of the Premier League. We will be back next week when Dave is no longer in Budapest. Where are you, mate?
Budapest. I'll be back in Barcelona.
Yeah. Good man. All right. Anything else to add?
No. Football!
Footballs!
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.